All right, next up we have Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm going to have to fly through things. I'm glad to be here today. I'm going to tell you a little bit about adding outdoor teaching resources to a university campus is kind of the punchline of what I'm going to be talking about today. I teach a lot of classes at UT. I'm an undergraduate coordinator for our department, which we call plant sciences. And a lot of these classes are outside, landscape plant classes where we're outside interacting with students outside. And so I wanted to get other university teachers more involved with teaching outdoors. And so that's a lot about what we're going to talk about. The lens that I look through for this is something that it's kind of my three pillars that I kind of look through everything with my teaching with. And that's, you know, teaching critical thinking, trying to get our students to think more critically about things, giving students the opportunity themselves to be the teachers in the classroom, and also providing good customer service to those students. And I think part of that is giving them the resources that they need on our campus to help them learn. And so that's a little bit of the lens that we're going to look through today. We also have a big, I don't know what they call it, QE something, on experienced learning, where they really are asking us to be more experiential in our teaching. We feel a call from the students who are entering into the university to be more experiential in our teaching. And that is not just people who teach agriculture, but people, finding ways for an English teacher to be more experiential in their teaching as well. And in my classes, one of my favorite classes I teach is called Plants That Change the World. Here we're at a brewery tour. You know, hops, you know, that it's changed the world a little bit. And so we go and do things like brewery tours where students get hands-on experience with some of these things. And we know that plants are important, and all of you in this room know that you're going to see more plants than any other organism in your entire life. And they have these impacts on you, mentally, physically, spiritually, all these different ways that plants have impact on you. And I think that is something that we can incorporate into our college classroom. And I think that if I asked you all to close your eyes right now and imagine your personal most iconic place on your college campus, a lot of us, I think, would think about an outdoor space. I mean, I don't think about the cafeteria. You know, when I close my eyes, I think about some of the outdoor spaces on the university campuses that I've been on. And so why did we do this study? First thought, develop a model for recommendations for our UT community to broaden the teaching resources to include features on our campus. And so outside of our agriculture campus, which is separated from what we call main campus, I don't like that separation too much, but how can we add outdoor teaching resources? When I say outdoor teaching resources, I mean anything that would be valuable, both actively and passively, for a teacher to use to help educate their students. That could be a tree from a religious text. It could be a retention pond. It could be an architectural feature, something that people can learn from, but it happens to be outside. I think a lot of us know that there's benefits to being outside. There's benefits in being in green spaces. There's benefits of being outside in general. So we want to improve the look of our outdoor campus. We want to improve the outdoor teaching resources on our campus and hopefully impact some teaching. And the grounds of our college campuses are important. And there's research that backs up the fact that, man, what our campus looks like on the outside impacts the students that we attract, and even going as far as how the students learn on campus, how much time they spend on campus, all these different things that we haven't put a lot of thought into, at least on my campus, how the grounds look, how many outdoor teaching resources there are on our campus, that these things make an impact. Let me give you an example. The budget for our facilities and grounds that maintains our campus in 1987 was $1.3 million. In 2017, the campus to maintain our outside grounds and budget was $1.3 million. Completely unchanged from the 80s. And so hopefully we can get some people to wake up to the fact that these outdoor spaces do matter. And so that's, I want to know, how do we get better? And I'm going to skip over just a few things. And one of the ideas is that our campus buildings, these things that we construct on our campus, that these classrooms can extend out into outdoor spaces, and trying to find ways that we can extend our traditional classrooms, these things where we have chairs and desks and whiteboards and whatever we have, into outdoor spaces. And this is natural for me. I teach plant ID. I spend very little time in the classroom. I have a classroom as a meeting place so we can go and do other things. Well, I know that that's not the experience for most teachers. We've got a big campus with about $500 million in construction right now, either planned or ongoing, and another $500 million in construction in our back pocket. And so I want to know, man, if we've got these opportunities of these campus buildings being renovated, constructed, and at UT, when we say we renovate a building, it means we knock it to the foundation and then we build something completely new on top of it. But how do we, if we got this opportunity, how can we improve these outdoor spaces? And so that's kind of the elevator speech of the whole thing is, if we're going to build new things on campus, what can I give the people who are in charge of designing these spaces, because they don't ask us, what tools can I put in their toolbox to say, man, you know what, it would be good if you had a retention pond here. And, you know, I have a list of people who say they would use this retention pond. And so the punchline of this whole study that we did on campus was we developed all of these maps on campus. And if you it's kind of hard to see for you guys up here, but on the top one, this is a region of our campus, and it says if within this region of campus, we have people who say that they would use a certain teaching resource, like one of the examples that I gave you, and I'll give you more examples, and they also feel like it's not available to them. And I'm going to go into that just a little bit deeper as well. And within this study, we tried to do three things kind of all at the same time. Is first we asked, what do teachers need on campus to make it more likely to take a class outdoors? What are the most visible, high-impact areas of campus? And we did that by developing what we call campus threshold maps, where we have overlays that say these are the most visible parts of campus. And then also, how do we improve our campus grounds by elevating those who manage them? And I had, at the beginning of this, I had this idea, well, you know, as we get attrition within our campus grounds department, we should find ways to hire these highly educated people who know how to do this and know how to do that. And then I start hearing things like I told you about the budget, and I realize, man, we should spend some time training the people that we already have, help elevate the people that we already have to get them up to the standard beyond the mow and blow that they're kind of used to help elevate our campus grounds just a little bit. So we did an examination of our peer institutions. We did a census of all the teaching faculty on campus, asking everyone with a teaching appointment what kind of outdoor teaching resources that they may or may not utilize within their classes, and then developed kind of a model of how this can be done. So first we evaluated our peers, and a lot of you who work at university know you've got aspirational peers, you've got target peers, you've got actual peers. And so we put all these things together, and this is kind of what we came up with, the schools that we analyzed. So we spent a lot of time analyzing in different ways those different schools and see how they compared with us, and then also look pretty dang closely at these similar jobs that manage the grounds on the university campus to see, you know, what kind of people are they hiring? Just, you know, this is very standard. We kind of come to find out UT is very similar to all these other places. Are the managers, the people who manage the other people who work on our campus grounds, start at UT at $9.50 an hour? Now, there's good benefits, but they start at $9.50 an hour. And so we really kind of went through looking at a lot of job postings over a lot of years to see what are the makeup of the people who maintain our grounds. Here's just an analysis of similar postings, the text of it, and you kind of see the words that stick out and what the people who are writing these posts think are important. Similar job duties from similar posts, shrubs, equipment. This is my favorite one, text analysis of the skills you need to do the job. Well, the ability, what's the most important thing? Follow instructions. To follow instructions. And so how can we take the people make $9 an hour, and teach them how to maintain our campus grounds. We also look quite closely at master plans and master plans throughout the country of major universities really have an emphasis on the walking campus, the campus where you can move about and walk. And UT's got a big push to make our campus more pedestrian-friendly. Right now it's very car-centric, and we hope to move in the direction of being more pedestrian-friendly. And so now back to the instructors on our campus, looking at the instructors who actually teach on our campus, where we want to find out about the teachers on our campus and how they potentially could use outdoor resources. This was informed by focus groups before we asked the question, and the census was of all those with a teaching appointment. And the first thing we did, we asked them, you know, would you take your class outside if you could? Would you take your class outside if you could? Some of them say no, just no. And then some of them say, well, yeah, I'm open to that at least. And so we split those up into two different groups. And I'm going to just flip to one of my favorite slides here. So the non-outdoor teacher versus the outdoor teacher, the top is their teaching methods. On the left, you see that the non-outdoor teacher uses lectures, visual aids, and discussions. And then the outdoor teacher, their top three teaching methods are visual aids, clickers, discussions, labs. And then the bottom ones are, what are their restrictions? What do you perceive as your top restrictions to taking classes outdoors? Well, the non-outdoor teacher, they said, well, it's too noisy, inadequate seating, distracting to students, insects, and it was hot. Also came up quite high. For those teachers who say, yeah, I'll take a class outdoors if I can. Weather, time constraints, class sizes too big seem to be restrictions to taking classes outdoors. And so we came up with this list based on some of our focus groups of these potential outdoor teaching resources. And I gave you examples of them. It could be architectural features. It could be a retention pond, these sorts of things. And I know that they're maybe kind of hard to read up there. Constructed wetlands, examples of native ecosystems, these kind of things. And ask them, would you use this if it was available? And here's our list here of our actual outdoor teaching resources on your left that some people say, hey, if we would use these, if we could. And then we took all of those and we put them on these maps. And these maps indicate to those who manage our campus grounds and those campus planners, those in charge of our facilities, that if you renovate this part of campus, we have people who say not only do they want this, but they would use it if it was available. Now, this took a little bit of work working through and trying to balance things out just a little bit. And so what you're seeing on these bar graphs are potential users of different outdoor teaching resources throughout the entire campus, and then also paired with those who say it's not available. Now, just because they say it's not available does not mean that it is actually not available. It's maybe that they don't know about it. And one example of that is within the constructed wetlands. If you see way over there on the bar on the east campus, or on the east side of our campus, which is one of our sections, there's tons of potential users. This is the agriculture campus, a lot of users who say they would use a constructed wetland. A lot of them say it's not available. That's completely untrue. Within 150 feet, I could take them to two examples of constructed wetlands. And so awareness is also something that we're working on. And so, you know, you like this idea, but how do we make it a reality? And part of it is just this, is creating awareness of the current existence of the outdoor teaching resources on campus is something that we're working on doing right now. And then also engaging the faculty, and then also as well training those workers on our campus and the teachers as well on how to use these outdoor teaching resources. The last barrier that I want to make you aware of is just because you want to use an outdoor teaching resource, want to take a class outside, you may not know how to do it. And so we've got training programs in the works right now to help these people who maybe want to do that learn how to take classes outside. Thank you very much.